Hi, everyone. I'm Dan Alvarez, and welcome to the Countdown to Kickoff. And I'm joined by former Anderson Redskin Ben Osborne. And Ben, thanks for joining us.
No problem, man. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk with you finally about my time at Anderson and coaching, and kind of reconnecting with some of the alum.
Well, we always start our interviews off by talking about when you played, the year you graduated, and the number, position, all that. So if you can just let everybody out there know your position and everything that you did at Anderson.
All right, so I was a class of 98, so my senior year of football was 97. I played left offensive tackle, and I was number 79.
And talk a little bit about that. You know, Anderson football back when I played was absolutely horrible. When you started coming up through the program, obviously got a lot of better. You had the early 90s making the playoffs. Did you guys make the playoffs? And just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my junior year, we played Elder. In the first round of the playoffs back then, they only took the top four, so we played at Nippert Stadium, which was pretty cool. That's back when it was the old AstroCrete rock hard turf surface that they had there, so we all had to try to buy some shoes and try to make the best out of it. And it was a fun experience. It was a good time playing there, and Elder ended up having a pretty good season that year, if I remember correctly. It seems like it was so long ago.
I think they had, if this is the same year, I'm not sure. There was a guy, defensive lineman, I think Tommy Kramer rings a bell, and I'm not sure if that's him, but they had some stud defensive linemen.
They did. And what's funny is, over the years, I've run into some guys that I've played against, and actually the guy that was the defensive coordinator, a guy named Mr. Jim, Any Jim, is the owner of Jim and Jack's over on the west side of town, and kind of fell into having a discussion with him one day while I was over there. About football, and we just hit it off and talked about some of those guys, and he and I have a lot of, through the coaching circles, we have a lot of common friends and know a lot of the same people and remember a lot of those same games that he likes to tell about on a regular basis. So
did you have a lot of guys? I keep in touch with some of my not as much as I'd like to, but some of my former teammates. Are there any guys that you were real close to with, or that you still keep in a lot of contact with?
Yeah, there's a couple. Brad Hensley was one of them. Brad and I wrestled all through school together. He was my drill partner. So I've, through Facebook, been able to kind of keep in touch with him a little bit. Ryan Tomlinson was another guy that I was pretty close with, that we played side by side for a while there our senior year. And then Jason Moore was one of my really good friends. He lives up in the Columbus area. He's a firefighter up there. And we keep touch through text and whatnot. Try to get in touch with him a couple times a year just to touch base and see how he's doing. So,
well, talk about a little bit about we've had guys before talk about either guys that they remember on your own team, on Anderson's team, or guys that you played against. Is there anybody on your team of like, oh my gosh, this guy's unreal, or anybody that an opponent that you play that really sticks on your mind?
Yeah, I actually have two. So the guy that played for us, our tailback, a guy named Joe Sherrill, one of the strongest human beings I ever remember seeing in high school. I mean, he was probably 6'2", 210, ran a 4.5, benched 340, 350, something stupid like that. And I remember many a games feeling his hand pushing my back and feeling his cleats as he ran up the back of my calves. I'd have, like, indentations in the back of my legs from where he had run me over as he's trying to break through tackles and trying to bust through and score and whatnot. It's a messed up story, but it's a fun story to tell now. When week 10 we played at St. X, and they were good. They had a defensive back by the name of Rocky Boyman.
Oh yeah.
Now Rocky was a 6'4", 235-pound gigantic human being, redheaded monster that played safety. I was about 6'1", 235 pounds, and I played offensive tackle. So he had me beat by 3 inches, and we had a screenplay that was, Coach Sirianni was big on Tennessee then. It was called Volunteer, and it was double screens. I remember setting, going out, I looked in, I looked out, boom, there's this blur, and Rocky literally ran me over on his way to tackle Joey. One of Rocky's best friends in high school ended up being one of my best friends in college that I played with over at the Mountain, a guy named Paul Bailing. And Rocky was at Paul's wedding, And I said something to him about it, and he's like, dude, my bad. I'm like, Dad, you were doing what you needed to do, man. That was before he ended up switching from the Titans to Indianapolis and winning his ring. And so I can say I literally was trucked by a guy that won a Super Bowl ring. So.
And that's a pretty cool thing to look back. And, you know, back in the day, you know, Anderson was considered a smaller Division I school at the time, and St. X was the big school. And at the time, I think Anderson had to play St. X to possibly get in the playoffs, because it was kind of hard for Anderson to get back in the playoffs back in the day.
Yeah, it was. So we go into that game. We're 8-1. You know, we lost a tough game to Harrison week 4 or 5, I think, at our place. And so we're going into that game, and we're on the bubble. And they were good. You know, it's not pull the public-private thing in, but it's hard to compete with some of those guys, especially when part of their roster is or dudes that live in your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it is what it is. And had we won that game, we would have gone in. But I think we ended up finishing 5th or 6th in the Harbins that year. So we just on the bubble of going. But
and back then, it was only 4 teams. That if they would have done it now, you would have been in.
Yeah, we would have. We probably would have ended up actually playing Harrison. I think we would have probably played Harrison in the playoffs. So that would have been fun to try to get back at them a little bit. But yeah.
So talk a little bit about, we talked about Coach Soriano. He's obviously been close to my family and myself as well. I did all those shows with him. And, you know, I coached 1 year with him, and that was his first year at Anderson. And I thought I knew football, and I really did not know football at all. Talk a little bit about what it was with having him as a coach.
Oh, it was awesome. The biggest thing, and my dad and I joke about this now, not really joke, but we talk about it, is one of the things that Coach Soriano really did a good job with is he developed his players. He taught you how to be a student of the game. Mm-hmm. Whether you liked it or not, whether you liked him or not, you respected him, and you respected that work ethic. You understood when you put that helmet on with the Redskin decals on it, the amount of time and effort that everybody in the program put into it. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that later on down the road I was able to actually coach for him. And he gets it. I mean, he could sit and tell you how to block off tackle for 4 hours and not scratch the surface. I mean, it's the little things. He always said that, you know, take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves. And that's things that I stress with my players, I stress with my students, I stress with my own kids. You got to do the little things. If you miss the little things, then everything's going to fall apart and it's not going to turn out the way that you want. You're going to be frustrated. You're not going to understand why. Well, you skip 6 steps. You can't skip those little things. But he, tremendous man, nothing but love for Coach Soriano. I keep in touch with him. Like I said, I was fortunate enough to coach with him at Anderson. I coached with him at Mount St. Joe for a couple years. Great man.
Yeah, and one thing that when I was, obviously when I played, again, our football wasn't the greatest, and I just don't remember nothing against my coaches. I love my coaches to death, but we weren't well coached. And the one thing that was pretty awesome to me was seeing the shoots, and I know you probably remember the shoots, and I was thinking, my gosh, we would have had that, because Anderson always has had some good talent there. It just they needed the coaching to get there.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I wasn't on this side of town when you were playing, so I knew, I lived, I don't know, probably 5 minutes from Elder. I grew up in Price Hill until I was about 12, and then we moved over here. So I was fortunate to kind of watch them play a little bit. And even, you know, Scott Peters, who was my wrestling coach, he was the defensive line coach at Anderson, played there, and he even refers to it as the dark year. So I knew a little bit about football, but when you came over here and you watched it, you know, 92 team, I was a 7th grader.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about a turnaround? You want to talk about some dudes that were out there playing? I mean, it made you want to put that helmet on. It made you want to do those things. And going through the program, you know, I started playing football in 8th grade. You know, Dale Adams was the head coach, and he was my offensive line coach. And you know, I learned a lot from him. You know, a lot of respect for the game, and then being fortunate as a freshman to play for a guy named Joe Collins and Scott Peters and some of those guys, and then moving on to the varsity level, and my offensive line coach was a guy named Joe Reedfeld, and you know, I'm 36 years old. I haven't played for the man in 18 years, and I still talk to him either through email or text probably twice a month.
That's cool.
And He was awesome. He was really awesome. He was patient, and did everything kind of textbook, because, you know, that's how he had learned it. So we were very fundamentally sound with what we were trying to accomplish. And, you know, Coach Seriano had been an offensive line coach for a while too, so he expected a lot out of those coaches and out of those guys. So very fortunate to have played with some really, really, really good coaches.
And talk a little bit. You said that you, after you went to Anderson, you're obviously a teacher at Glen Essie Middle School, I believe, and I think you were coaching at Glen Essie for a little bit, then you also went over to Mount St. Joe and coached with Coach Soriano. Talk a little bit about that experience going from a high school level coaching to college, and then also coaching with Coach Soriano at the college level.
Yeah, so when I first started coaching, I played 2 years at the Mount, dislocated my ankle as a freshman, and had 2 screws put in, blew out everything except for my Achilles. It was a mess. So I came back as a sophomore, fought through it, and said, you know what, I'm done. I want to be able to walk when I'm 40. So I started coaching at Nagel, did 2 years of the middle school circuit, and then Coach Seriano hired me up to be a freshman coach. So I was a freshman assistant for a year, the freshman head coach for 2 years, and then I was in a varsity assistant for 2 years. And then after that, he left. He stepped down as the head coach at Anderson and took the offensive coordinator spot over at Mount St. Joe, and brought a guy named Dick Knox, who was the head coach at Harrison. You want to talk about an offensive line coach?
Yeah.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
That guy's probably forgotten more than I'll ever understand about coaching the offensive line. Tremendous, tremendous technique guy. So going from high school to college, it was different. The length of the game, it's a whole nother quarter when you stretch it all out. The speed of the game, the size of the kids, even at the Division III level, those guys are monsters. And the travel and whatnot, just the prep. There's a lot that people don't understand that goes into preparing for any of the games. But you know, you're there on a Sunday, breaking down your game film, which is going to take 2-3 hours, because you're picking it out, because you know some of these guys are truly fighting for spots. So breaking everything down, and then you spend another 4 or 5 hours getting a jump start on your opponent. So you're there on a Sunday from 10 until 6-7 o'clock at night, and it's tough.
Yeah, it really is, and I don't think people appreciate, you know, the guys that play Division III football. Those guys really want to play football, because a lot of those guys don't get scholarships, or it's hard to get the money, and Mount is pretty expensive to go there, so these guys really have to enjoy playing football.
Yeah, they do, and that was one of the things that, going back to the coaching part there, is when you call kids to recruit them, you know, they're like, what'd you think? Oh, coach, it was great. I loved it over there. How much does it cost? And you drop that number on them, and it's crickets.
Right.
So that first question I always had to ask those kids was, what's your GPA, and what are your test scores like?
Right.
Because there was certain levels that if you achieved, you could get, you know, the president's scholarship, or you could get money off. I mean, you're still talking a whole lot of money. But, you know, it's those guys are playing because they truly love it. They're passionate for the game. You know, they may have been an inch or two too short, or they may have been, you know, a tenth or two, a second too slow to go to a UC or go to a bigger school. But they want to keep playing. And it's... You know, it's expensive to play college football at that level, but they do it because they love it.
Yeah. And so right now, currently, you've been the offensive coordinator for the last couple of years at New Richmond. Talk a little bit about that experience. I think before, I'm sorry, I can't remember what you coached before you were the offensive coordinator and you moved up. And talk about that experience of moving up from a position coach to being the offensive coordinator. It's a lot, I'm sure, stress, because I see it in the booth when I'm broadcasting the games, the stress that the coaches go through. Talk a little bit about that, your time at New Richmond, and what that experience is like being an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so, like we said, I was at Glen Estee for a couple of years. So I was at Anderson, then I went to the Mount, was at Glen Estee, was at Kings for a year, and then one of my good friends, Josh Stratton, got hired as the head coach at New Richmond. And we had kind of talked for years about, you know, potentially coaching together, and he got the job at New Richmond and texted me and asked me if I wanted to coach the offensive line. I'm like, I don't know. I'm pretty happy. Coach Olds at Kings is a great man. He's taking really good care of me. And he texted OC with a question mark. And I'm like, all right, cool, we can talk. So I went down and chatted with him. And, You know, it's way different because it's not someone handing you the practice plan now, mm-hmm. or somebody handing you, hey, these are the plays that we're installing, this is the defense. It's, I'm doing that. I'm right. the one that's studying the film. I'm the one that has to feel comfortable with what I'm calling and why I'm calling those plays the way that we are and setting them up and trying to find little nuances in the defense that we can exploit. So it is. It is stressful, especially when you're in a tight game. But the one thing that I do enjoy is I call it from the box. So I'm not down on the field. I'm not stuck in the middle of all the kids and the coaches and whatnot. I learned that from Coach Herman, who was the offense coordinator at Ohio State, who's the guy that's the head coach at Houston now. Tremendous, tremendous guy. And he said it's sterile. It takes you out. It lets you think. So I've got my Powerade or my Coke Zero. I've got my guys that I coach with. Call it press box snacks. I've got some spicy peanuts and I lay all my stuff out in front of me and everything slows down.
Yeah.
Put the headphones on and I'm focused and I can tell when I've truly figured out the opponent because you see everything out on the field that you practiced for all week. And then if there is something different, you're able to prepare. You're able to adjust and talk through it. You know, like I said, Coach Stratton and I are great friends. He and I are on the same page 99.9% of the time, and we can chat through a lot of things to try to process. If he's seeing something a little bit differently than I am, you know, I'll jot down some notes and kind of work it through during a series break while we're on defense and try to come back and adjust. So.
Well, how hard is that? Being like New Richmond and Anderson are a bigger school, smaller school, is there any difference? Is it basically football's football and you just got to go with what you got? I mean, do you see any kind of difference in the schools and the size?
I think football's football. You know, I think there's some really, really, really good coaches at the smaller level schools. I think the biggest disadvantage for being in a smaller school is you're asking a lot of those kids to be Ironmen and they're trying their hardest to go both ways because they don't have a lot of guys. You know, there's a couple of teams we played that they fought, they hung with us until about half because they had 25 guys and they had three really, really good players, but they never left the field.
Right.
So what that does is that allows us to kind of exploit some of those guys and you know, number 56 is bent over. He literally can't breathe
right.
because he played left guard and right. they pull him every play. Well, I'm running right at that kid.
Right.
So, you know, I think in terms of a big school compared to where we're at, obviously the number of players, mm-hmm. The potential of having some tremendous athletes come out of there, absolutely. But I see that at our level too.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different.
Yeah,
it's just a little bit different.
Well, we'll kind of wrap this up here a little bit, but one thing I think is really cool that you do, besides coaching in football, is you're part with the Dan Varner Band. I get to see you every once in a while when I attempt to get out on a night and see you there, and it's pretty cool. Talk a little bit about how you got involved with that and what you do with Dan Varner.
Yeah, so kind of a funny story with that. His son Campbell and my son Peyton are same age. And when they were in kindergarten, ran into Dan. I had seen Dan play a couple of different places, probably after football games at, like, Cheeseburger in Paradise when I was at Glen Estee, back when that place was around. And he and I just started chatting, and it wasn't the music part. Like, I could have cared less about the music part. I'm sure he gets that stuff all the time. So I knew he played football, so we talked football. It's that universal language.
Right.
And, you know, even though he went to Turpin, I still love the guy to death. He's become a really good friend over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years with me. And, you know, one day I went to a show, fell in love with it. You know, great voice, great musician, great guys. Caught a ride with him to a show, ended up helping lug some gear. And next thing I know, I'm like named stage manager. So I'm in charge of helping with the sound, helping when things aren't working right, making sure that I'm communicating with the lighting guy, the sound guy, security, things like that. And then I get to play. You know, I play guitar, so I get to get up there and play some, which is awesome. During football season, it's really cool because I can sit, break down film all day and work on my game plan, take a nap, get up, shower, put my stuff on, he picks me up, and we go play a gig. So my mind is completely
right.
You know, it's a clean slate on Sunday morning when I wake up because I walked away from it for a little bit. So that's that's cool. It's good. He's taken really good care of me. I've been to some pretty cool places, gone down to Nashville with him a couple of times. Yeah. And it's fun. It's a rush. It's like playing sports when you're up on a stage, because people are cheering, people are having fun, they're into it, and it's cool.
Well, you know, saying all that, you have to have an unbelievably supportive wife. And obviously you have an unbelievably supportive wife. I don't think my wife, too, all the stuff that I'm involved in, to have a wife that is supportive like we have, it makes a huge difference in what we do.
Absolutely. She gets it. We've been together for 20 years. We dated for, when I was 16, we started dating.
Wow.
So we've been married. We just celebrated 14 years last week of marriage, and she is. She kind of knew what she was getting into when we started dating, because I was doing three sports. I was playing football, wrestling, and track, and she was as much of that stuff as she could be. She was in school up at Butler at the time, and she's good. She collects what she calls football minutes. Mm-hmm. So during football season, she just keeps a little tally in her head. So as soon as football season's over, she gives me about a month to recoup, to crash, and then it's Katie bar the door. I'm doing all sorts of stuff that I didn't think I would have to do, or making up for that time. But no, she's good. Megan's awesome.
Okay, we're gonna wrap it up real quick. But the last thing I got to say, and I know we've most of the guys that I talk to, when I ask them about Anderson and all that stuff, we try to get them to get, you know, obviously we know the program's changed hands right now with Jeff, and Jeff did a great job getting a state championship. But talk a little bit to the kids present now. It might be a little bit hard now that you're at New Richmond. But a lot of the guys that I've talked to just openly just have talked about what it means, and maybe tell those kids what the program, how right now we're talking, and what the program means to us, and maybe that'll give those kids some incentive to keep that program going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's just a tradition. It's understanding the guys that came before you and what it means to put that helmet on, what those Redskins on the side of that helmet truly mean, and what has taken place to have people around the city see that and know that's Anderson. That's Anderson's helmet. It took time. It took Coach Seriano years to get it going. And Jeff did a good job, and I hope Evan does a great job with it as well, kind of getting it back on track. But you know, it means something. Putting that helmet on means something. You're not just a football player. You're an Anderson Redskin, and you know, you got to understand that. You know, that tradition doesn't die. It continues regardless of the struggles that have taken place. Us old guys, so to speak, you know, we keep up with it. We watch it, and we smile when you win, and we cringe, and it breaks our heart when you guys lose. So, I mean, it means something.
Right.
I've got a flag hanging up in my basement still, and, you know, it's my son hopefully will play for him someday, because we live in the district.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It really is.
I mean, I really appreciate you doing this for me. If you don't know Ben, he does a great job at New Richmond. So we try to follow the guys that have went through our program. And so on Friday nights, when you're listening to these games and these broadcasts, check out New Richmond, find out what they're doing. Drop Ben a note, just say, hey man, you know, we're Redskin, we're thinking about you. So you know, Ben, I really appreciate the time, and it was great interview. I didn't know how I was didn't know if we could make it through it, but we made it through it. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right, so that's Ben Osborne joining us here on the Cats Out of Kickoff. We'll be right back with game action right after this.